Let's take our Bibles and we will go to Psalm 119. I started this on Wednesday and I'm going to finish it up tonight, Gaining Spiritual Discernment. If you would like an outline and didn't pick one up, if you just raise your hand, we have a couple ushers in the back who will pass that out. If you need a little more paper for your parrot cage, you can also use it for that if you don't fill it out here tonight. So, Psalm 119. And let's just start in verse 34. I'm just going to read one verse and then we'll pray. And so if you need an outline there, you can. But let's go ahead and stand in honor of God who gave us his word. And just one verse and then we'll be seated. Psalm 119, verse 34. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Father, thank you for tonight, thank you for the opportunity we have to be in your house together, assembling as your body. Father, we thank you that church is not a building, it's people. And we thank you for each person here, Lord, that we have in our local assembly, our local body. And Father, we pray for your blessing upon each one of us tonight. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we've had to worship you in song and in offering and in fellowship. In that sense, and also, Lord, we pray you'd help us now as we listen to your word. Give us understanding, even as the psalmist prayed here. Give me understanding, and Lord, we pray that you'd do so. Thank you for this night now in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. We looked at on Wednesday night, went back to 1 Kings chapter 5, and in 1 Kings chapter 5, that is where Solomon is now becomes king, and God really gives him a vision or a dream. And at that time, God more or less said, Solomon, ask anything that you would want. And I think the thought is, ask anything you need to fulfill your role as king. And so his prayer is this, and it's in verse 9. You don't have to turn there, but I'm just going to read it. Verse 9 of 1 Kings 5, and he asks for an understanding heart to judge thy people that I may discern between good and bad. And so that spiritual discernment was important for a king and for his situation, just as it is for us today. And as we looked at then, that word discern back there in 1 Kings chapter 5 and verse 9 is the same word that's often translated elsewhere in the Old Testament. In fact, the most of the time it's translated understanding. And so that concept of understanding, what we're going to do is look at Psalm 119, where it occurs. It occurs 10 times. It occurs 170 times in the Old Testament. So we're not going to look at all those. We're not going to do a full-fledged word study, but we will look at those in Psalm 119 here tonight. Now, it's interesting. When Solomon was crowned king, his world changed in a lot of ways. Not in the sense of political things going on, nations invading, none of that, but all of a sudden he was responsible. And for him to become king, what else had to happen prior to that in ancient days? What had to happen before he would become king and sit upon the throne? His father died. It was interesting. I remember hearing somebody say that, very godly man, and he said, you know, when my dad died, that really was an impetus that all of a sudden I had to trust God. He said, I always get to call my dad, and my dad was a godly man, and I could always get discernment, get answers for him, get ideas, get thoughts, bounce things off of him. When he passed away, all of a sudden it was like, oh, all I have is God. And he said it was me growing up, maturing spiritually all of a sudden. And it wasn't that I gained new knowledge or anything, but all of a sudden I just sensed a new dependence I had on God. And so Solomon, all of a sudden he had to deal with people more than he ever had before. He didn't really all of a sudden gain wisdom, though God gave it to him. He did an answer to prayer in that sense, but he was getting a new job, a new position, a new situation. And he had to be able to discern between good and bad, not only to judge the people, which is his primary thing, but just in life in general from a new perspective. And so I was thinking of that. I thought, you know what? Our world often changes. Maybe your world's changed recently. Got a new job, new position, new situation. Maybe there's a setting in your life as life is constantly changing, and that's so you constantly have a new place. You got to trust God. And so all of a sudden, it's different than it was, you know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. And I think the way our, maybe not just a personal situation, but the way our nation is changing. I think all of a sudden there's things that we just took for granted 3 years ago. We can't take for granted anymore. All of a sudden, we're to the place we almost have to make, it's not that we're making new decisions, but we have to, hey, really solidify where we stand. You know, what are we going to decide when someone at work says, hey, you know, I just, you know, this or that, and all of a sudden, you got to say, hey, what does the Bible say? What does it really say on that issue? And so there's new things that we face all the time. And again, new realms, new settings, new peoples, new difficulties. And as a Christian, just like Solomon, I think he wanted to please God. And I think you as a Christian, you want to please God. And so as you get in a new situation, you need to ask God, God, would you help me to know what's right and wrong? And again, I'm not thinking so much black and white, but maybe some of those areas, some people don't like to use the word gray, but some of those areas that we've never had to decide before, all of a sudden we have to make some decisions there. And we know what they are, and we know what we should do, but there's just that insight that we need from the Lord. And I think that's where we say, Lord, give me, as this psalmist said, give me understanding. Give me spiritual discernment. Give me insight into how I need to decide on these issues. And let me say this. Some of those issues that I'm speaking of are not like, does the Bible talk about the death penalty? And yes, it does. So that's very obvious to me. I'm talking about when you get a situation with people, and all of a sudden people, just like Solomon, people would come to him and ask him about things, and I've never had to decide about this before. I never had to talk about, you know, how to reconcile a husband and wife. Never had to talk about how I had to deal with, I don't know, I can't think of anything, nothing's coming to mind right now, but just that idea, Lord, I need some insight. Give me understanding, give me spiritual discernment about what would please you in this situation. And so I think all of us are there. And so as we look at Psalm 119, as I said, we're not doing a full word study with this. But as we remember, Psalm 119 is all about what? Someone talk to me. What's Psalm 119? What's the theme of the whole psalm? It has the Hebrew alphabet. I heard about four answers. I'm sorry. Maybe someone raised their hand. Yeah, well, about God's word. It's really about God's word, and really every verse, as we talked about, you know, except for two or three, do mention in some way, shape, or form an aspect of God's word. And so it correlates this understanding or discernment and connects it with God's word, which I think is very important for us to understand. So the 10 references, 6 are in the form of a prayer, 4 in a statement of fact. And so from those 10 references, we're looking at 2 thoughts to help you be spiritually discerning in this world. And the first one that we looked at on Wednesday night was true discernment comes from God through His written word. And the idea that we brought from that is you are responsible to get into the Bible. You are responsible to get to know what this book says. You are responsible to find out what it says. I'm going to embarrass someone here, but I still remember shortly after Gary Dahlman came to know Christ. Where is he tonight? 4 year. Okay, I'll embarrass him since he's out there. Shortly after he got saved, I remember one time, because Doug comes to the library on Wednesday to help out with the library, and I went up there and said, how you doing, Gary? And, you know, I went over by him and I found out he had pulled one of like a Bible dictionary or a Bible commentary to something and he was studying. It wasn't just commentary. It was really on each book of the Bible and a summary of each one. And he's studying. And he hadn't been saved for that long. He just had a desire to get into the book because that's where you get discernment. That's where you get understanding. That's where you get this. So we all are spiritually, we're all personally responsible to gain that knowledge. And so we saw, and it's just in the outline there, to gain knowledge of its truth, to open your heart, to allow it to influence you, to meditate quietly upon its contents, and to hold to the way of its instruction. In other words, do it and obey it and so forth. So that's the first one. And the second point that we're going to look at is true discernment comes from God through answered prayer. And so as we looked at in verse 34, those first 3 words, give me understanding. And it's just in a verb form that has an aspect of prayer to it. And so that's what he's doing. He's praying to God. God, open my mind. Give me discernment. Give me understanding. And that could be very similar to James 1:5. James 1:5, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, it shall be given him. So when we're in those times of difficulty, at a moment of crisis, we can ask God, help me. And I think that's part of this. Give me understanding. But go over to verse 169, way near the end of the psalm, 169. Another time it's mentioned. And this sort of gives a synopsis or a summary of how it's used in this in Psalm 119. So 169 says, let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. And here's that phrase, give me understanding. And then he says, according to thy word. Give me discernment that is based on your book. Give me discernment and understanding. Give me insight about what's right, what's wrong. Give me insight about how you would have me to handle this situation. Give me that according to what you say in your word. And so there's a sense in which these two prayers are very similar. One is someone like to call it this way, the fire escape crisis time. You say, God, I need wisdom, James 1:5. Give me understanding, give me insight, give me that wisdom I need to deal with this situation. And so that fire escape wisdom that you cry out at the moment of crisis. And then really what Psalm in verse 169, give me understanding according to thy word, that's sort of the fire escape plan before the fire ever starts. And you're in the Word, you're studying the Word. Day by day, you're accumulating more understanding of God's Word, and that's what we need to be doing. So there's that, at the moment of crisis, we can say, God, help me. And God will just give you wisdom. He's that kind of God. He wants to help you at that moment of crisis. But then there's another kind of wisdom that just accumulates over time, and that's by you getting into the Word, getting over the Word. It was interesting. I'm going to embarrass someone else here tonight, my wife. My wife didn't take grad school. She did go to Bible college, though she was not studying for ministry. She didn't know I was going to capture her and take her with me. But she has a real good grasp of God's Word because she has just read it and read it and read it. And though she's read, you know, study Bibles and read the notes and those things, but she just read it and read it and read it and read it. And so there are times where I can't remember something. I said, where is that? And she would tell me where it's at. And so that's the idea of that long-term knowledge, long-term wisdom. Short-term, help me, Lord, and he'll give it. Long-term, Lord, give me understanding. Give me understanding. As really verse 18 of Psalm 119. Let's just jump over there. It doesn't mention that prayer, but it is another prayer that follows along this line. I think it's great for us to know, and I think many of you probably have it memorized. How many have ever prayed verse 18, before you've read your Bible? Okay, a number of you here. And open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And wondrous means the extraordinary. We were talking at lunch today. I was out with someone, and we were talking about the idea of just concentrating, taking time to think about what God has to say so it seeps into our soul. We are just too rushed. And maybe it'd be easier after you retire, but I heard there's honey-do lists, so you never really get out of that. But if you're quiet, don't you always think, now what can I do? What can I do next? What do I need to do? And then you start thinking, and then you think about, okay, I need to do that. Okay, how am I going to do that? I'll do that. And then, you know, how many times have you gone to prayer and you ended up, you were praying there and you had maybe a prayer list, maybe you didn't, and you're just praying about, and then all of a sudden your mind was overthinking about somebody else and about another situation over here, and it's over there, and we can't concentrate. Because our society has taught us, our media has taught us, everything we do has taught us. Beep, beep, oh, my text. Oh, email. And we're boom, 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 boom. And so when we try to concentrate on God, next time you have quiet time, see if you can do it. See if you can concentrate. And that's why you don't just let your mind just drift. When you get in the Word, think about its truth, let it seep in. And think about it. And if your mind starts running, oh, no, got to catch it. And that's why if you get the Word, that's why you, Lord, give me understanding according to thy Word. Let me see wondrous things out of thy law. Let you supernaturally speak to me. And so as we look at this, so four occurrences, there's six altogether, as I said, the prayer. We looked at one, verse 34, another one, 169. And then the other four occurrences of this prayer, give me understanding. We're going to look at those to see four ways that God provides this discernment as you pray for understanding according to his word. So the first one, verse number 27. Understanding will give you something to talk about. If you didn't have enough to talk about already. So verse 27, it says, make me to understand, it's the same word there, give me understanding, make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. Now this one's interesting because he doesn't say just give me understanding of thy precepts. He says, or make me to understand the not just thy precepts, but the way of thy precepts. So I thought, you know what he's praying for? He's praying more than just, Lord, give me understanding of that verse or my chapter I'm reading today. That's not what he's saying. Give me an understanding of, make me to understand the way, the bigger picture, the concepts, the themes, the bigger picture of what you're doing and what you're like. And so I think that's part of it. Lord, show me how I'm to fulfill that. Show me how I'm to live that out. And then what he will do, the result is, I will talk of thy wondrous works. Wondrous is that same word back there in verse, 18, about show me wondrous things out of thy law. Wondrous, again, is that beyond which human mankind can do. And not necessarily the impossible, but the extraordinary. But I think, you know what, when you have understanding of God's ways and God's truths, all of a sudden you start seeing what God can do that seems to be not so supernatural. How God provides, maybe from a friend giving you $5 when you didn't have that $5 that you needed for whatever it was. And not for your latte, by the way. Just how God can work in the ordinary everyday affairs of life. I remember one time we were coming back from Bob Jones University. We had 7 people in a station wagon traveling from South Carolina to Washington and Oregon. And so we were coming all the way out. And I remember we were traveling, I think it was Wyoming, somewhere in there. And we were out in the middle of nowhere. And we were just traveling straight through. So we would shift and, you know, there'd be people sleeping while people were driving. And so we just go right through the night. And so we came up, it was like really, really early in the morning. We were coming up somewhere in Wyoming and our gas tank was already on empty. And so we had 3 or 4 of us just praying, Lord, get us to the next place, get us to the next place. And so, you know, so we were, and we kept going on an empty tank of gas for quite, I would say, 10, 15 miles. And then we pulled into this little, I mean, we were running out of gas. I mean, and we pulled in, and it was closed. There was a gas station there right at the edge of one little small town. And this guy came up, and he was the owner. And he said something about he had to come back. He forgot something, and he had to come that morning. He's not normally open. And so he opened it up, he gave us gas, and we were on the road. You say, well, wow, that's pretty cool. It was pretty cool. But what I'm saying is we come into the Word and we say, God, show me some wonderful things. And God wants to show us. So you say, that was a happenstance. Well, what I'm saying is that God will use the ordinary things of life to bring about something that you're praying for that everyone else may say, oh, well, that was just how it was. No, it was that way because we were praying for it. It was that way because God was working. And what happens is when you're saying, God, give me understanding of the way of your precepts, that we start seeing things as God directing, God guiding, God bringing it about. And that helps us when bad things happen as well. But what I'm thinking here of his blessing. So he gets to pray. So the question I asked myself when I was looking at this verse in verse 27 again, it says, so make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. And I thought, well, who is he talking to? And I'll tell you the reason why I said that in a moment. But so I think there's several answers to that. I think one, you're talking to God. You're saying, God, thank you for what you've done. And you praise him and you bless him for what he has done in your life. So you talk to him. I think another part is you talk to yourself. And the reason I say that, the word talk there, the other 4 times that this term is used in Psalm 119, it's translated meditate. In fact, if you look back at verse 23, just a little bit before that, it says, princes also do sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate. And that word, the same word is talk. And so I think there's an aspect of meditation is not necessarily talking to yourself, but in a sense you're thinking about it, you're mulling it over in your mind. And so I think you're saying, Lord, give me this understanding of your way. And I will think about how great your works are. And I think that's an aspect. And then I think the third one, which is probably the most obvious, is to let others know. To let others hear about what God has done in your life. That's one of the reasons we have testimonies on our communion night, is so that you have an opportunity to share with others what God is doing. Just like tonight, when I was sharing that thing about the gas tank, some of you are thinking, man, that was a blessing. And next time you get in a crisis, you'll probably be ended up on the side of the road with no gas. But and that's still, no, I'm just joking. It was sort of a unique situation we were in. But what I'm saying is that may encourage you. And so I'm going to talk about your wondrous works. Lord, open my eyes so I can tell people what you're doing And so I think that's the concept there. So let's look at another one. So that's the first one. The second one, verse 73. Understanding will allow you to learn God's truth. 73, it says, thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me, here's the prayer, give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. So this is a little different. He says, give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. And I think this is the balance part of the first point. I have a responsibility to get into the scripture. But I also have a dependence when I get into the scripture to ask God to open my eyes. And I think that's what he's saying here. Lord, help me to see that so I can learn what your word is about. I was going to say, let me go on. Notice a couple things here that I think is interesting that should strengthen your faith as you look at the first part of that verse before you get into the last part. Again, he says, thy hands have made me and fashioned me. In a sense, therefore, give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. So God made you. He did the work. And as Psalm 139:14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that my soul knoweth right well. I know that, Lord, you made me. Psalm 100, verse 3. Some of you know that? Anybody want to quote it? Psalm 100, verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And so we need to know that he made us. And I think that could go along with our salvation as well. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, okay, or new creation. And so, God, you made me. Now, think about the next part of that. It says also, you made me, thy hands have made me, and fashioned me. And I think the fashion me is a sense of putting it together according to a purpose, according to a plan. And so God has planned our life. Not only has he made us, but he's planned it. He's gotten, he made you the way you are for certain purposes. Jeremiah 1:5 says this, before I formed thee in the belly, speaking here to the prophet, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I set you apart, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. And then the apostle Paul wrote this in Galatians 1:15 and 16. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. You know, Saul of Tarsus caused havoc, the Bible says, havoc of the church. And yet God had a plan even before he was born to bring him to salvation and use him in a great way. And so I think the psalmist, as he begins, Lord, you made me, you created me for a purpose. Therefore, open my understanding that I can learn your truth. It's almost like, I put it in this way, it's almost like an obligation on God. You created me, you redeemed me, I'm yours, therefore teach me, please. I want to learn. Go over to Ephesians chapter 4. Just a thought here along that line about God, praying for God to open your understanding so you can learn. And so Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 21. Ephesians 4, 21. If so be that ye have heard him, and I think that speaks of salvation. He's talking about how God's changed your life in the previous verses. If so be ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. And so there's an aspect there of salvation that God is teaching you. And from that, I think it's very interesting, verse 22, that ye put off concerning, you know, you've been taught some things from Jesus, and therefore put off concerning the former conversation or your manner of life, that old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. So the truth that you learn that's in Jesus, that God taught you, that should help you to put away the old man. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. If, you know, sanctification process, we need to understand that comes through some changing in the way you think. The spirit, renewed in the spirit of your mind, the attitude of your mind, the way you think, the way you contemplate things. You know, before you got saved, that your contemplation of things was often based on self? Not always. Even the unsaved sometimes are not totally selfish. But it really comes down to that. There's no spiritual aspect of things. There's no eternal concept or spiritual concept for the most part. And so he changes the way we think. And then verse 24, and this says, as you got this truth, he's taught you, that you put on the new man, which after God is created, there's that aspect again, created in righteousness and true holiness. So in a nutshell, how does that happen? Well, we are responsible to learn God's word. At the same time, we have to have a dependent spirit asking God to help us understand that so God can transform us, God can change us. Lord, give me understanding that I may learn your precepts. Teach me, please. Okay, so we come to the third one. Go over to verse number 125, back in Psalm 119, 125. So we've seen understanding to give you something to talk about, understanding to learn God's truth. Understanding will ground you in God's word. That's what we're looking at here in verse 125. In fact, let me read the whole section. I haven't done that all the time. Some of them can be, but I just want to read. I want to bring out a couple things here. So this section of Ngain is sort of how you say it. There's a ng on front of that, sort of clear your throat. But verse 121, it says, I have done judgment and justice. Leave me not, now notice this, to mine oppressors. Be surety for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me. Mine eyes fail for thy salvation. In other words, I need to be rescued. And for the word of thy righteousness, deal with thy servant according to thy mercy and teach me thy statutes. Verse 25 is one we'll eventually I'll come back to. I am thy servant. Give me, there's our prayer. Give me understanding. Give me that discernment that I may know thy testimonies. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Lord, they're not listening to you. They're throwing away your truth. Verse 20, let me just finish that section. Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. That's worth preaching on. And I hate every false way. Think about that. I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. And if you're ever reading the Bible and you come across something and say, that doesn't sound right, go back to this verse. Therefore, I esteem all the precepts concerning all things. God's always right. So, but anyway, back to verse number, verse 125 there. Now, give me understanding. It's in the context here of it seeming though some oppression, some opposition, some that are not really being very kind to him, and some that are throwing away God's law. And so in those types of situations, when, I can't even say it, situations where people are opposing you, contrary to present political speech, I would think that when people are opposing you, you get very particular about how you say what you say. You should be very careful about the facts. You want to make sure the facts are facts and don't just spurt off the top of your head when you have opposition. I would think that, but that's not happening necessarily. But there's another thing that happens when you have opposition that you, maybe not everybody does this, but sometimes you begin to question those things that you've held for a long time. It's just the way the devil's fiery darts work. And you're wondering, am I standing where I need to stand? And so I think that's part of the prayer here. Give me understanding that I may know. I need to know your precepts. Not in the sense of I need to learn them for the first time, but Lord, I need an assurance. I need that grounding so I'm not wobbling where I'm at. I just need, God, give me that knowledge and assurance that I can know. Open my eyes. Help me to see your word as I've never seen it before. That's why I always tell people, every time I talk to someone who has lost a loved one, I always say the key, and I know I've shared this before, but the key is the basic elements of the gospel. Those are the things you need in the time of turmoil and the time of trouble. That I know that Christ died for me, that I was a sinner. He died for me. He rose again. I trusted him. He's given me eternal life. And those are things you can hold on to, and those are the things you need in the time when things are just, everything is collapsing around you and you feel very uncomfortable by all those around you and what they're doing to you. And so I think that's part of this. Lord, give me that I may know, that I have that assurance. I think it's interesting when Jesus, it was about 9 months prior to his crucifixion, and he told his men, I think it's right after the incident I'm going to make mention in just a moment, but he told his men, I'm going to Jerusalem, and they're going to take me, and they're going to crucify me. And right before that, he asked his men there in Caesarea Philippi, he said, whom do men say that I am? And they said, well, some say you're John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some say the prophet. And then he says, well, let me ask you, who do you say I am? And remember Peter's response for the group, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I think Jesus did that because he knew, and really they had already seen some of it happening, the opposition and the confusion that would come to his disciples from every angle. And he said, you know what? You need to know something. You've got to have this thing. And so he's asking them for that reason. And it's very interesting. Right after that, the Lord looked at Peter and he said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which art in heaven. You didn't learn this just because you're so intellectually smart, Peter. And I don't think Peter was thinking that. But he said, you know what? My Father in heaven gave you this. Because you're about to face the most difficult crisis you've ever faced in all of your life. And you need to know. And so though they didn't pray that prayer, I still think it's a example of what God says, I want you to know. And so this prayer is a wonderful thing for all of us to say, Lord, help me to know your testimonies. I don't want to be shaken in the midst of the storm. And again, one like back there where it says, you made me, Lord, you fashioned me. I think there's something here also for us to understand. I lost my place here. 125. Notice the first four words there. I am thy servant. I'm committed to you, Lord. I have a relationship with you. I'm thy servant. You know, if you work for someone, if you're employed, there are several things that you think about as you're employed there that... biblically, I think we need to understand, you know, God's given me this to take care of my home needs, my family needs. God's given me this to support ministry. God's given me this situation so I can reach out in ministry to individuals. So I think all three of those are very important for us to understand that God gives us a job. But from a company's perspective, you have a job to be productive for that company. And if you're not, well, depending on if you got a union or not, they fire you. They don't always do that anymore. But as a general, if you're working for a company, you are to be productive for that company. And so if you're going to be productive for that company, there's one thing you must know. What am I to do? What am I supposed to do? And I think that's part of what this is saying as well in verse 25. Lord, I'm your servant. Open my eyes that I can know what you want me to do because I want to please you. And I think there's almost that obligation when you're God's servant that God says, I want you to do what I want you to do, and I will let you know. And so let's pray that prayer. Lord, I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know not just thy precepts, but know thy precepts so I can know what you'd want me to do. The last one, 144. Here, the last prayer. And I put, understanding will provide a fullness of life. The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Here's our prayer. Give me understanding, and I shall live. Now, in this, I'm not going to read them all, but five times in this section, the word righteousness is used, and it may be because that's the word that begins with this letter in Hebrew, so it follows that alphabet. But as we talked about this morning, righteousness has an aspect, because God is righteous, therefore he will judge sin. But God is righteous, therefore he will keep his promises. In this case, it's interesting along the line, the righteousness of thy testimonies, in other words, with the rightness of what you testify in your word, testify about yourself, testify about how your servants are to live, those are all right, those are proper, and they are forever. And as verse 89 says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And so the psalmist prays, Lord, give me understanding of your eternal perspective. Give me understanding of those testimonies that are everlasting, and I shall live. And I think the living there speaks of fullness of life. Jesus said it this way in John 10:10, I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. And that abundant life is not earthly wealth. It's not having a mass of possessions, but I think it's our relationship with Christ that's unhindered by the things of this world. That's fullness of life. And so give me understanding of your righteous testimonies that are everlasting. And I want to put it this way. You know, I know I've said this a number of times. Excuse me. An earwig. So taking time and eternity and bringing them together. Lord, give me understanding of time and eternity and how those fit together, and I shall live. I shall know the fullness of life. I shall have the what I wrote down, the joy unspeakable and full of glory that 1 Peter talks about, the peace that passeth a normal human understanding there in, you know, Philippians chapter 4. I just think that unless we truly get a perspective, I was talking to someone again at lunchtime, talking to someone, and we were talking about, this individual was talking about the sovereignty of God and how God works all things out for the good of his people, and the balance between knowing his sovereignty, his wisdom, and his love, and bring those three, that sort of tripod that sits together, knowing those three things are so important for us to know that God is working, and God is guiding, and God is directing. Lord, give me an eternal perspective on life, and that's going to give me a fullness of my life. As Paul said, he looks not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are unseen or not seen are eternal. And so seeing that eternal perspective, I think, is so important, so we can know the fullness of his blessing upon us. And if we don't see that, I think it debilitates our Christian life and what God would like to give us. So we pray, Lord, give me understanding. Give me understanding of your eternal concepts, those things that last forever, the things about you, about life. And I shall live, I shall know a fullness of life. So spiritual discernment, understanding, seeing what's right and wrong from his perspective, but seeing what's right and wrong, how it applies to my life. And so God, may God give us strength. It's really that perspective comes from him, comes through his word. And so let's be in his word. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this evening. Help us to remember the importance not only of our part to get into the word, but of asking your part to teach us your word. And Lord, that simple balance between those two things of personal responsibility and of God dependence. And we pray that you'd help us with that.